Father, we have read your word. We open our hearts to you. May you deposit the word in us so that we can respond to you in faith. You do what you want us to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This month is our month where we want to focus on discipleship. Sorry, the focus on family. So a lot of themes we revolve around in the sermon is about family. But we talk about discipleship. Sometimes discipleship don't just happen in classroom, not just in seminars, small groups. I think the truth of discipleship that it happens not just in church, but I think most importantly, it happens at home. Home is a place where we spend the most time with. So home is sort of the place where we are the most real to ourselves. And home is a place where probably the deepest wound is inflicted, and especially the relationship between the parents and the children. So for many of us here, some of us probably are hurt by our parents' reckless word, and it in a way still affect us today. So today when I talk about the heartbeat of home life, which is communication, especially on the area, how they're going to speak to build out, not to tear down. So in 1977, NASA launched two Voyagers into the space, Voyager 1 and 2. Inside this spaceship or spacecraft, they put something special inside. You see the disc is a gold-plated disc where they have recorded a collection of music, sounds of the nature, pictures and greetings in 55 languages. So the purpose of sending out this record into the space with the intention to reach out to alien so that it might hear us somewhere out there. Think about the amount of time, the money and efforts invested in this project. They built a spacecraft to put in this record disc inside, hoping that someone somewhere out there to hear us, to find us this planet Earth, and maybe they'll reach us in times to come. But until now, we have not received any signal from outer space. I think from this project, it tells us that how often we fail to communicate with the person right at home. Instead of we are investing so much to reach out to the space, but ironically that we have failed to reach out to the one closest to us at home. We send messages to aliens we have never met, but we never really look at the person next to you at home to talk to them. And we are also experts in broadcasting our life online, but when you come to home, sitting to someone next to you, we are very clumsy in connecting with the person at home. So today we want to focus, bring the focus back to earth and back to home. Because the most important voice we're going to hear is not from the distant galaxy, but it's someone next to you. So let's ask God to teach us how we should speak in a way to show love, the way to listen. So my sermon will revolve around these three points. Watch your words, build others up, and listen with your heart. Watch your words and do not let reckless words fly. Think about the relationship in your life. All the relationship revolve around in your life. Your spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings, your friends. And what really holds them together? What holds the relationship together? It is love. It is trust. And how is love and trust being communicated and being expressed? It is through words. It is true words. So every single relationship in life is rise and falls, depends on how you speak. So a marriage will strive when word of edification of love is being communicated. When love of became a weapon, the relationship in a way slowly wither. Likewise happened to a child. When you affirm the child will grow in confidence. When we keep lecturing the child will become low in esteem. So sometimes for children here, you don't have a choice, and many a times when your parents talk to us, we can easily respond with our eyes being rolled, And we just think, you don't just understand us. And why do you keep nagging at me? I think in Proverbs, we're going to read the verse together in Proverbs 18. We're going to read this together. 1, 2, 3. The tongue has a power of life and death. Why is it so? Because the painful truth is the people we love most are often the people are being hurt the most, hurt by our words. And why? Why the people we love most are being hurt by our words? It's simply because when back to home, we take them for granted. When back at home, we are so relaxed and we often let down our guards and we are not careful with the way we speak and we take them for granted. Imagine when you relate to your colleagues, to your bosses, to your friends out there. Sometimes we are be a bit more careful how we're going to express our words. We think twice. But back at home, words just come out, blurting out from your mouth when it comes to you. So over here, we take them for granted. And sometimes with unguarded moments, reckless words just fly like arrows. We don't mean to hurt, but actually we still hurt them. And once a reckless word leaves our mouth, it cannot be taken back. So the first step of communication is very key, is to watch. Watch your words. Watch your words. So let's go to the word, the Bible, and see what the Lord had to say about reckless speech. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. So the question is, what is reckless? Reckless word. What does the word reckless mean here? I think it conveys the idea of blurting out something that you speak impulsively, something you didn't control your tongue, you speak thoughtlessly without thinking of the consequences. You just let the word out recklessly. I think in other version, the translation, they use the word careless, thoughtless word. Sometimes in family, we let such reckless word came out. And the key thing is not about what is being said, but the key thing is how it's being said. A reckless speaker may not be a liar. He may be even speaking the truth. But the key thing is how the truth is being delivered. So a reckless man may speak without wisdom, may speak without the right timing, without sensitivity, and without the concern for the one who hears the speech. And many a times, when we use an excuse for ourselves, why do we speak recklessly? Because simply this is my personality, this is my character, this is a way I use to do it at home. But once we become a Christian, we are not called to be like our parents, we are not called to be like someone else, but we are all called to be like Christ. So we cannot use an excuse, that's the way I am, that's the way I'm being brought up. So we are called to be like Christ, not the way you used to be. And sometimes another reason why we use for reckless speech, because I just say that, I'm just being honest. I'm just telling the truth. Therefore, the truth hurts. But that's not the way the Bible treats honesty and wisdom as the same. Let's read this verse together in Proverbs 25. 1, 2, 3. Even truth need to be spoken at the proper time. Let's read the next verse, Proverbs 15, 1, 2, 3. Even an honest word can be a harsh word. It can stir up anger. And why do you speak recklessly? And sometimes, why do we speak such careless words that spit out from our mouth? I think, first of all, the reason is unrighteous anger. In Ephesians 4, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Anger itself is not a sin. It is an emotion to tell something deeper in us. But when anger goes uncontrolled, unprocessed, or it became self-righteous, this quickly can turn out to be reckless. In such a state when we are angry, we speak word without thoughts, and we lower our guards. It makes us feel justified in hurting others because we first being hurt. So another reason why do we speak recklessly is because pain and unhealed wounds. Because of wounds in the past, it's not being healed. And we, in a way, we just spill over. The story in Genesis 37 tells us about the brothers of Joseph. Let's read the verse together. 1, 2, 3. I believe when Joseph grew up with his brothers, I believe they are in good relationship. They play together, they probably play soccer together. They are good in a good term, but something happened along the way of the journey of growing up because of favoritism. The father doted Joseph more than the rest. And in a way, it caused hurt in the rest of the brothers. And because of the hurt is being undealt with, therefore they cannot love, they cannot speak kind word to Joseph. And it's very true. When you have unhealed wounds in your heart, people, it's hard to come close to you. And you, I believe you have friends like that. You have friends that you do not want to go close to them because whenever you come closer to them, they seem to spike because of the words. There's a saying, you say that hurt people hurts people. A person is being hurt. Whatever he says or she says easily hurt people. And many of us, in a way, carry unhealed pain, probably from our parents. Maybe they're never around when you needed them. And maybe they compare you with other siblings. And maybe they did never affirm you in the process of growing up. And the pain is very real. But today, I think the truth is you don't have to live with the pain. And you don't need to spill the pain back to your parents. Because if you return the reckless word to your parents, this is a way of revenge. And this is not healing. And this is not what God wanted also. I think the third reason why we speak reckless word is simply because of pride and the need to be right. Let's read Proverbs 13 together. 1, 2, 3. Because we want to win the conversation. We want to argue the conversation. And that's why reckless words often come from a heart that refuses to acknowledge wrong. So when you win the conversation, you win the argument, you probably kill the relationship. So we use what became a weapon to step instead to connect. So lastly, the reason we speak reckless words is because of fatigue, stress, and the lack of self-care. When you're especially tired, when you're hungry, when you're stressed, that is a moment where it can be easily triggered. The story of Prophet Elijah, you know that after the miracle that he had performed, he was under so-called pursuit of the king to kill him. He was running, and he feels so exhausted and depressed. And he said this, I had enough. I have enough. Lord, take my life. I think the Bible never deny the emotional and physical needs. And we are hungry, we are thirsty, we are overwhelmed or burned out. We normally lose our normal self and we can be easily triggered. So reckless words can be a signal to you that you're running on empty tank. So question to reflect before we speak. Is it necessary? What am I saying? Is it necessary? Is it timely? Is it spoken for the good of the hearer? Am I reacting or am I responding? If it comes from a mouth that's never controlled or in anger, it will be what the prophets say, you speak words like sword, that pierce like sword. When you never hold to your tongue, the words can pierce like sword. I think he gave us a very interesting imagery here. Words like sword means that words can penetrate, words that can hit a wound, words that can even cause lasting wound and can damage at the exact moment. We thought that words are just purely words, but actually words have an impact and words sometimes can be potentially fatal. A testimony was shared by a Taiwanese sister when she was 12 years old, one day when she was in uniform going to school. When she was about to leave for school, her father called her back and looked at her. And the father said to her, look at you, girl. How did your legs get so as thick as elephant legs? The father said that to her daughter. How did your legs get as thick as elephant leg? Then he shook his head repeatedly. The words that hit her, a 12-year-old girl, hit her like thunderbolt. She dropped her school bag, ran back to her room and looked at the mirror, looked at the front, looked at the back, looked at the side, and she compared. And the worst thing that she decided is that she believed in the word of her father. The sentence will stick to her for many, many years. Even as she grew up, she had never dared to wear skirt again. She got very poor self-esteem, and she wear pants all every day. And that incident affected how she looked at herself. And she believed that she was unfeminine, and the way that she dressed herself is very in a boyish style. It took her many years to heal from the damage caused by her father's reckless word. So she explained. He said, I stopped hearing my father's voice years ago because my father passed away. But I still hear the sentence lingering in my heart. I stopped hearing my father's voice years ago, but I still hear the sentence lingering in my heart. Words of a reckless pierce like sword. It pierces like sword. And sometimes the wound takes time to heal. And some wounds stay for the rest of our life unless we do something about it. The sad thing is, most of us, we forget about the compliment people gave us, encouraged us, or affirmed us. But we can recall, we can quote word by word of what people hurt us decades ago. Isn't it true? Can you quote what people hurt you years ago? And you easily forget about the affirmation, encouragement from others. Maybe hold our tongue when we're about to speak reckless word that pierce like sword to our loved one at home. I think reflection today for us to think about, what hurtful words have you or have your parents spoken to you that still sting today? I believe we all have such hurt. It's not healed. What are something that still hits you today? Secondly, have you ever said something hurtful back to your parents in return? I believe so. In your anger, you probably have said something hurtful back to them. And we have done that before, whether to our parents, to the loved one in family. Come before the Lord. Come before the Lord and confess our sin to God. Ask God for the courage to apologize and be specific. Because we're never perfect. Be specific to tell them what we have said that have hurt them and apologize for it. And that's a way to honor our parents too. So next time when you think you're about to spit out reckless word, shut your mouth and walk away. Let's read this verse together in Proverbs 17. 1, 2, 3. You see, sometimes it's wise to keep silent and not to say anything. So other than just holding our tongue back before it wounds others, I think one actively way that we can do is deposit love by affirming them, by building them up with words of edification. So second point, we talk about building people up, speaking words that help and not hurt. If angry words tear down, I think loving words are the bricks that build a home. This is the verse we read just now, Ephesians 4:29. It talks about building others up with words, building others up with words. In order to build others up with words, Paul over here, he teaches us three things we have to do in order to build others up with words. First of all, it is a choice. It is a choice. The word says, do not let. That means you have a choice to choose whether to let an unwholesome talk to come out from your mouth, or whether you want to let words of edification to come out from your mouth. You had a choice to make. You don't say that you don't have a choice. It's a choice to choose whether what you used to criticize, or to use silence, or to complain about someone at home. You have a choice to choose. Second thing, when you want to speak words of edification, you need to find the right fit. The Bible says that only what is helpful. That means that when you want to speak to someone to edify that person, you need to know what is helpful to that person, what is not helpful. Everyone is tailor-made. Everyone is unique, have their own different need. You need to know their need. I got 3 children, all different personality. Therefore, I need to find the right words to edify them. And the thirdly, How do we speak word of edification? Paul say, it is about him, not you. According to their needs. It's according to them. So sometimes don't be too focused on yourself, how you feel about it. How do you feel uncomfortable about it? It's not about how you feel when you do that. It's how about how they feel when they receive the word of edification. The struggle with us in the Asian family, because we are also Chinese, and sometimes we find it hard to express love. And we live in a family that we grew up at home where love was seldom expressed. Rather, I think love is being expressed more in the area of service, provision, sacrifice. And probably we never heard our parents say, I love you, I am proud of you. And that's not very our culture at home right now. And sometimes to say such a word, it sounds quite embarrassing, awkward, or you may think it's even, if I fake to do it. But over here, Paul is teaching us to break this cycle, to speak word of edification, affirmation. I know that most of us are children here. It's very hard for us to do that to our parents. But I think it is possible. It is possible. It starts from you. I'm going to share, because if you look at the context of Ephesians chapter 4, you read the whole chapter until chapter 5. The whole part of Ephesians chapter 4 to 5 is talking about putting the old self away and putting on the new self. That means once you have this newfound faith, you have to change. The way of change is to put off the old self. So Paul, later in the verses, he tells us specifically what are the old self you need to put away and what are the new self you need to put on. You look at verse 25. Before you became a Christian, you need to put, you are a person of falsehood, but right now you become a Christian, you need to speak the truth. Before you are a Christian, you have sinful anger, but right now you become a Christian, you need to reconcile in relationship. Before that, you're stealing, but now you have to work for it. Do not idle. Before you're a Christian, this is what the verse we talk about, you probably have a lot of corrupted speech, reckless speech. But right now, after becoming a Christian, you need to use edifying speech. Before that, you have a lot of bitterness and malice. And right now, being a Christian, you need to have kindness and forgiveness to your family. So over here, speaking word of edification is something unnatural. Definitely unnatural, because that was our old self. We never do that before. But right now, after being a Christian, we need to put on the new self. This new self is something we need to practice. We have to be intentional. Something we have to learn to do it. Many years ago, when in my 20s, I became a Christian, my dad is still a non-believer. I wrote a letter to my dad in Chinese, of course. I wrote to him to thank him, to appreciate him, the little things that he had done for me in my life. And at the end of it, I tell him, Dad, I love you. Sometimes it's hard to say verbally. So the first thing to do is write it out. Write it using a letter and whatever ways to express. Tell your parents that you love them. I was in my 20s. My dad is probably in his 50s or 60s. I told my dad, I love you. The next week when I came back home, I feel a bit embarrassed to look at my dad, because I'm not sure how he feel when he... Never in our life, in our whole family, we tell each other, I love you. It sounds very unnatural. The next week I came back, I just tiptoed to my room. I don't want to look at my dad. I feel so embarrassed. I found my letter I wrote to my dad. And my dad returned to me. So over here, I'm not sure whether can you see the letterhead there, Kai, was singling, xie xie. Just a 5 letter words written, 6 letter words written back to me. That's how my dad, after a long, long letter, then my dad just written me 6 letters. But I think that's okay. At least I have a chance to tell my dad I love you. Of course, other than I write to him, I love you, I say, Jesus loves you too. Because I'm wanting to reach out to my dad. Have you tell your dad or your mom, I love you? Either in written words or tell him verbally. After I wrote that in words, I dare to tell him I love you in verbal already. Because I overcome the first barrier. I do it only later to my mom in the years 2022. Much more, my mom is a bit more difficult for me, a bigger challenge. But I'm able to overcome the first challenge. So sometimes being a children is a bit harder to do that. But it is possible. You can cross. Because I believe your dad, your parents, they never received such a word from their parents also. They raised up probably to just to labor, to survive, and nobody tell them, I love you. But right now, being a child of God, I am able and I have to do that. I'm glad I've done that. Because right now, I don't have my parents with me. I got no chance to say I love you anymore. I'm glad I overcome the embarrassment, the unnatural, the awkwardness, whatever you call it, the fakeness, whatever. But I'm glad I've done it. I told my dad and my mom right to their face. My mom is a harder one, but I'm able to do it by the grace of God. I say, I love you. I hug my mom also. Brothers and sisters, please do it. Today is Father's Day. Do it to your parents. Tell them I love you. If you find it too difficult to express, start with writing. If you find it difficult to write, maybe text. Probably the least is text. I hope that they will keep the text. I kept my, I didn't show it there, I kept my children, when they wrote to me, I love you, all this, I kept it there. Because it's very warming, even though they are young, it's very warming to see my children. Sometimes it's hard to expect that from your children, but you learn to express love to them, they return back to you, same thing also. And this is the life that God called us to live, to put on the new self. Unless and until we do that, it's hard to bring the love of God into the family. So today, at the end of the service, go back home, call your parents, or if you're able to see them face to face, do it. Say, I love you. Appreciate them a bit more specifically, what things they have done. I know sometimes we got difficult parents, parents that hurt us quite badly. Come before God to ask for strength and grace first. And may you love your mom and dad by the grace of God. Not because you feel that way too, but by the grace of God, Jesus died for you on the cross, and you want to do it, to die to yourself, to express that love to the person who probably have hurt you in the past. The third thing we want to talk about is to listen. Listen with your heart. Listen before you speak. I think great communication is never a monologue. It's always a dialogue. And the most difficult part about dialogue is about listening. The verse we just read is that we have to quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The phrase over here, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, is very difficult for the world to grasp. Because I'm not sure whether when you see a child grown up, when the child was being brought to the adults, the adult will praise the child. Wow, the child is very quick to respond, very quick to react, quick to argue back. Wow, next time the child will become a lawyer because they've got a very glib tongue. You know how to argue with people. Have you heard such comment before from your parents? Wow, 他嘴巴很厉害, 讲一句顶十句, that was a child. You feel that's very 厉害. When you grow up, you see how water is like that, huh? That's why you cannot. So that's the way the world say, wow, this is something good about the child. But this is not what the Bible talk about. You see how is conflict developed? Conflict comes when we become angry, we speak impulsively, and we stop listening. But the Bible teaches the other way around. Where am I? Hey, how come it doesn't come up? Oh dear. Okay, on the right side, there's another table. The Bible, even you read at James, it talk about, it counter the whole sequence. It appear over here, but it doesn't appear there. Never mind, it's okay, I'll read from here. The Bible gives us the counter sequence. We listen first. Listen carefully. Speak carefully and resist reactive anger. So it's about quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So if you compare two tables side by side, you can see it's totally in reverse of the world. The world wants you to become quick to be angry, quick to speak impulsively, and stop listening. But the Bible teaches the other way around. It's okay, leave the thing there, it's fine. Let's read the next Bible verse. Can we go to the next one? Okay, let's read this together. Proverbs 17, 1, 2, 3. Okay, when you talk about keeping silent, it doesn't mean silent treatment. Okay, this keeping silent is when we are angry, it's good to keep your mouth shut. Because when you're angry, anything come out from your mouth is always swords like that pierce. After we process our emotion, or after we process ourselves, I think then we can reconcile to heal the relationship. The next verse, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. The next verse. The root issue of not listening is because of pride. We assume that we know everything, we heard a bit of things, and we come to a very conclusive statement. I have enough, I don't need to hear anymore, and we make a judgment. And that is the problem of not listening. Think about a doctor using a telescope. When the doctor comes in the room, in the clinic, he just look at you and throw the diagnosis on you and prescribe medicine for you. Do you dare to take the medicine the doctor prescribed for you? Until or unless the doctor sit beside you, listen attentively through the telescope on your heart there, to check your heartbeat and to find out what is wrong beneath it. Likewise, true listening is like this spiritual telescope. It's not listening just to the words, but it's listening to the feeling behind the word, the heartbeat behind the words, the fear, the anger, the longing, the hurt. We got some parents here. I think for parents, if you got a chance to ask your child, how do you rate me in terms of listening to you? I asked my child, one of my child, a few days ago, I asked my child to tell me honestly, how do you think daddy listened to you? Do you feel that you're being hurt when you tell me your feeling? And the answer is obvious. I think when my child comes to me, I'm very quick to respond to them, to fix their problem. I want to correct them, the wrong thinking. And as a result, I neglect hearing the emotion behind the words. And when she does not connect with me, the communication is totally shut down. So parents here, I think we are learning and growing also. When our children come to us, before we speak, ask a bit more question. What do you think about this thing? How do you feel about this? What is something you want to tell me a bit more before we are too quick to jump into correction? I think for children, most of us here are children. When your parents talk to you about your studies, about your work, your future, your friends, your usage of your phone, what is your first reaction? You roll your eyes. You walk away. Same old thing again. Keep nagging me. When James said, quick to listen, it don't just apply to your parents. It also applies to all of us here. Be quick to listen. Shut your mouth. Open your ears. Even you disagree. One more thing. When people talk to us, put down your phone and give them attention. And a few times, actually, I spent time with people of the younger age. I have a meal with a youngsters, wanting to know that youngsters. And during the meal, I was talking to the other young man who was talking with me together with the handphone, playing with his phone and talking to me, multitask. I find it hard to carry on the conversation. Is it true? I believe this is the way he do it at home. That's why even as his uncle come to him, he do it with me also. Is it this the way you do it at home also? Try to do it when you want to know a girl, you want to pursue her. Do you see you're going to success in building a relationship? Learn to put down your phone and connect with people. When people are talking to you, put down your phone and connect. Look eye to eye, face to face, and learn to connect. Because one day, you're going to be a parent too. If you do that to your parents, I believe your children will do that to you. I think it will be even worse. Believe me so. So listening is a form of honoring your parents. I think at the end, I want to close with this story that we have started with. As we look back at this Voyager, in this golden record they put inside, the engineer records tell us that the greeting specially chosen to show the depth and the history of human civilization with all the languages there. The languages recorded including Akkadian language spoken in thousands of years ago in Aramaic, in ancient Greek, in Hittite language. He also recorded some modern language like Mandarin, Spanish, Arabic, and Hindi. But do you know at the end of the record, what is the language they use? They use English, and they use someone to record the phrase inside. Someone not from the president, someone not from the king, someone is not a philosopher. It's a nobody. It is just a six-year-old boy. He recorded this word inside. Hello from the children of planet Earth. That voice is not from the space. That voice is from your house. It's your mother calling your name. It's your father asking you how's your day. It's your parent knocking at the door trying to connect. Even they are still clumsy and they failed and they hurt you in the past. And what do you plan to do when your parents knock at your door trying to connect away? You can walk away. You can put on your earphone. You can say, not now, I'm busy. Or can continue to shut the door and remain inside. But one day, the voice will stop calling you. One day, your parents will not be there to ask you, how was your day? One day, you wish you had answered. One day, you wish you had listened to them. Because one day, your parents will be not with you anymore. And don't wait until that day because you don't always have your parents around you. So this is one thing to do today and this week. When your parents talk to you, stop everything. Put down your handphone, take off your earplug, and look at them and say, yes, I'm here, I'm listening. Not because your parents are perfect. I think most of our parents, we are learning and we are clumsy. Because why? Your parents are the most important people to you in your life. As broken as they are, as much as they hurt you in the past, they are still your parents that God has put in your life. Not by your choice, but by God's sovereign choice with His purpose inside. So do it today. You honor your parents by listening to them. And one thing I want you to do more than what listening to them, write a card or write a word to express your love to them. I wrote mine many, many years ago when I was in my 20s. I believe you can do that. You can do that to your parents who are older than you because no one had told them they are loved by their parents also. You have Christ's love in you, in your heart. Therefore, let the love of God touch them. So do it today. It's never too late because you still have them with you. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. I invite the worship team here. I want you to pray for your parents right now. I'm not sure what images come to you when you think of your parents. Probably something that your parents has hurt you in the past. Words like sword that pierce into your heart before. You're able to recall right now, I invite you to bring this heart that's probably still bleeding, bring it before the Lord, bring it before the cross. Let the blood of Christ wash your bleeding heart. I believe His blood is more powerful, even more hurtful than yours. The Lord has bear the pain for us. Therefore, He can bear your pain. And let the blood of Christ heal the wound in your heart caused by your parents. Pray a prayer of forgiveness. To tell God that my mom or my dad has said this to me. It is painful, it is hurtful. You do not deny the pain. You want to acknowledge the pain. Bring the pain before the Lord and ask God to heal. Because until and unless your heart is being healed, you will likewise be the person who speaks with reckless words that pierce like sword. you're going to carry the hurt to hurt others also. Hurt people hurts people. Therefore, ask the Lord to heal you. Lord, we come before you not with a perfect family, but a broken family. With wounds, with tears, with silence, with quarrels. We confess that some words in our home have cut us deep. Some voices we have pretended not to hear. Some tears we've chosen to turn away. Lord, we want to acknowledge we have hurt in some way. Please heal the wounds in my heart that are still bleeding. Help me not to use my past pain to hurt those beside me now in my family. Set me free. Pull out the swords that have been lodged in my heart. Release me from the labels probably my parents had used upon me. Whether the word of useless, elephant legs, you're not good as your brother. Lord, remove all these labels. In the blood of Christ, you wash them away. For you say, I'm your masterpiece, precious in your sight. Today, your word has reminded us, reckless words pierce like a sword. Father, we confess our words have been reckless, impatient, and give me the courage to admit it, to apologize and make things right. Not tomorrow, but today. Help me to lay down my pride and put on the new self. Lord, I want to pray for every family here. May our home no longer be battlefields, but places of healing. No longer of courtrooms of judgment, but places where grace is found. May our tongues no longer be swords,